Today on Real Radio.
Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. And you know, that always drives people who think you have to be good enough to get to heaven. Drives them nuts.
Pastor, we believe in faith in Jesus and keeping the golden rule and doing everything we can. And then we'll be saved.
Man, you must be living in the constant torment.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're looking at part of chapter 5, the section that features a number of events that support the messianic and divine status of Jesus of Nazareth. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a mini-series called It's Time to Get Up and Go.
Romans 3, 23 and down to 28. For all have sinned, missed the mark, missed the bullseye, and have fallen short. Isn't that interesting? Shoot the arrow. And the arrow falls, doesn't even hit the... We not only missed the red part, we missed the yellow part too, and the white part, and the whole... We missed the whole target. And our arrow fell about 3 feet short. All have fallen short of the glory of God. Watch this. By being justified freely through his grace, by the redemption that is in Christ, whom God set forth as a propitiation, one who dies in our place by his blood, through faith, to demonstrate his righteousness. Because in his forbearance, that is his putting up with sins, God passed over them, previously committed. He says in verse 27, where's boasting then regarding this wonderful work of salvation? By the law? By works? No. But by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude this, that man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. What does that mean? How are my sins forgiven? Understand this. Number one, you can't get your sins forgiven by being good enough. And boy, every time I say this, I get a letter or two from people. Pastor, I'll have you know, you didn't even realize that in your congregation this morning, I was visiting, and I'm good enough. Wow. You can't do that. I can't make it. But before you throw your hands up in desperation, realize this, that's the first step to getting into the kingdom of God. How does God save us? Number one, we need help. Jesus died for us. Jesus died for us. That's how he saves us, by the offering of Christ upon the cross. He died for us. He was our, the word is propitiation. He died in our place, taking away the penalty, taking away the guilt. He died in our place. God the Father placed on Jesus all of your sin and mine. That's how my sins, your sins are forgiven. If you wanted to sum it up in one word, you could put it down this way. The cross, or two words, the cross. It's the cross. That's how he forgives sins. This is a beautiful transaction. It's between God the Father and God the Son, and you and I get blessed in the middle. God judged my sin on the cross, putting my sin upon Jesus. And when Jesus paid the debt by dying in my place upon the cross, he gave me salvation. He purchased it for me. So how does he forgive sins? God the Father turns to God the Son with that agreement, and the sin was paid for at the cross. Number two, how are my sins personally forgiven? We would ask, what about me personally? Jack, I understand that. Jesus Christ died for all. What about me personally? Listen to this. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2 says, for he himself is our offering, our sin atonement, and not for ours only, but also for the entire world. So there's the personal. He died for me. And I know I say this, and I know you've read this and heard this before, but church, did you know it's theologically true? You can't change this, even though you and I may not feel it or believe it. But if you and I were the only ones ever born, God who loves you, God who loves me, would have came and died still on the cross for me or you, even if we were the only ones that were ever born. You want to know why? Because his love drove him to do that. He loves you so much. And it's a theological thing. If you have a hard time believing that, just chalk it up to this. It's a theological thing between God and us, God the Father and God the Son. You are that valuable to him. John chapter 3, beginning at verse 15. That whoever believes in him, Jesus Christ, should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world, that's you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever, that's you, believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Wow. 2 Corinthians 6, beginning at verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. That means listen to this and don't miss it. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you. That means God is waiting for you and I to cry out to him now. That's you personally. And in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. For who? You. Me. Personally. Acts chapter 2, verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Pastor, you got to be kidding me. That's what the Bible says. Romans 10:10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will never be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew or Gentile. For the same Lord is Lord over all, and is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Number three. In what moment is my sin forgiven? How can I understand this? In what moment does this take place? What assurance do I have? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:18, now all things are of God, who has, the word in Greek is past tense. Listen, this is wild. Are you guys ready for this? Who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. The word means that at the cross, in the moment Christ died, the reconciliation that is all that needed to happen for you and I to be right with God was done at the cross. You say, well, Jack, I was born 2,000 years later. Exactly. And the moment you come to understand, when you hear the gospel, watch. If Jesus died for my sins in the past, when am I then forgiven? The offering was made. The sin of this world, the sin of my life is upon me, upon you, your sin. The moment we enter into that finished work of Christ, it's lifted. You say, oh, I thought he died for my sins. He did die for your sins. Remember the ticket getting on the train? The train is there. You got to have a ticket. The ticket is not anything you earn. The ticket is something you get. How much? No money. You simply need to agree with God and be reconciled to him. Yes, okay. How? Jesus Christ. When does it happen? He already did it at the cross. So hurry up, will you? Come on. The Lord is inviting you to come to know him. Based upon what? His desire to save you. How does he do that? The cross. Jesus was my offering. So come on in. Take full advantage of what's been provided. You see? Now watch. In Matthew 4:17, it says, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, that is instantaneously. Change your mind now, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Yet he gave that invitation before he had even died. He was inviting people to come and to know him, and they would see him go to the cross. They looked ahead to Christ going to the cross. You and I do not look ahead. You and I look back to Christ being at the cross. Acts 3:19 says, change your mind. The word is repent and turn to God so that your sins will be wiped out and the times of refreshing from the Lord may come upon you and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. Listen, can you rob a bank and be forgiven according to the Bible? Yeah. The Bible says Jesus Christ died for all sin. Did you hear that? Raise your hand if you're awake. You're so quiet. Raise your hand. Did you hear that? Jesus died for all sin. Can you be forgiven if you, listen, watch this. Can you be forgiven if you rob a bank and you repent of it? Huh?
Yes.
What about if you steal a car?
Yes.
Okay? All sin. But somebody will teach, somebody will say, you can be forgiven all sins but these sins. Where do they get that from? Legalism? Sure. Traditions? Sure. Did they get that from God?
No.
No. You live your life rejecting, rejecting, rejecting. Thank God Almighty that in the last millisecond, the last nanosecond, before you die, you could, in all sincerity, cry out to God and say, God, I'm calling out to you, Lord, like the thief on the cross. Somebody might say, what about suicide? Now, listen, I don't recommend suicide. I have to be very careful. But there are people who have committed suicide in this life. There are Christians who were wonderful Christians, and they went through a fit of hormonal imbalance or depression or whatever, or in a moment of absolute breakdown, they committed suicide. Listen, if Jesus died for all manner of sin, then where do we get the idea, or some people get the idea, that all manner of sin but suicide? I'm not endorsing suicide. But there are people, you think somebody can be so depressed and know the Lord or call out to the Lord and yet be so depressed that that sin trumps the blood of Christ? It's impossible. And that's a very challenging thing, because in a moment in somebody's mind, they can say, well, there's one way. Jesus is pretty right on, except in this area. Many years ago, Walter Martin had a tremendous friend, a great aide in his ministry, who began to act weird. He began to say things that were off the wall, and they concluded, this guy is departing from the faith. And then the guy got extremely emotional, very bizarre, and the guy killed himself. Then they did an autopsy, and they found out that his man, they didn't even know, he had a thing in his brain that was so weird that it affected certain parts of his area that explained all of his conduct. So Jesus dies for all manner of sin, except a tumor that affects your brain that causes you to go nuts and you begin to sin. Oh, he doesn't die for that. You need to get a bigger view of your God. You think this morning you can be such a big sinner that your sin is too big for the blood of Christ? Look, don't impress yourself. You can't sin that big. Just don't die without Jesus. You die without Jesus and it's hell, says the Bible. Well, listen, number five, who did Jesus die for anyway? We would ask that. Well, then who did Jesus die for? Again, Jesus said to the thief at the cross, this guy was an absolute, absolute worst of the worst. Jesus said, because this man repented and turned to Christ, Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. And you know, that always drives people who think you have to be good enough to get to heaven, drives them nuts.
Pastor, we believe in faith in Jesus and keeping the golden rule and doing everything we can. And then we'll be saved.
Man, you must be living in a constant torment. Because usually people who believe that, they kind of walk into the room like this. Hi. They think they're so something. And yet the Bible tells us that by the works of the law, that is by doing good enough, no man shall see the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Wow. Of course, should we do good? Of course. But that's not what saves us. Well, then who did Jesus die for? You can jot it down. I'll just paraphrase it. Luke chapter 7, beginning at verse 37. There was a woman who was a very seedy woman, to say the least. She came and she worshiped before the feet of Jesus, breaking her alabaster flask, pouring it on Jesus' head and wiping her tears off of his feet with her hair. And the scribes and the Pharisees were there in all their legality. And they began to say to one another, if he knew what kind of woman she was, he wouldn't even let her touch him. And it says, and Jesus, knowing their thoughts, isn't that great? Said, hey, this woman whose sins are great, no doubt about that, I'm not doubting that. Her sins are whoppers, man. Look at her. She has sinned so much, but look at her now. I tell you what, you guys, the person who is forgiven a little bit, they love me a little bit. The The person who's been given a whole, forgiven a whole bunch will love me a whole bunch. How can you lose with this God of the Bible? Don't count yourself out of his ability to save you. The Amplified Version of the Bible puts 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13 this way, and I hope you receive this. It says, for even though Paul said, I used to scoff at the name of Christ, I hunted down his people, harming them in every way that I could. But God had mercy upon me because I did it in ignorance and in unbelief. Oh, how kind and gracious the Lord was. He filled me completely with faith and the love of Christ Jesus, his Son. This is a true saying. If anyone should believe it, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I was the worst among them all. That was the Apostle Paul speaking. Isn't that great news? Number six, what will happen to me when I die? When Jesus said, man, your sins are forgiven you, and this man receives this news, this man obeys Christ and believing what Jesus says, what will happen to you and I? Listen, Psalm 116, 15. Psalm 116, verse 15 says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. You become a saint of God based upon the Bible by trusting Christ. 2 Peter 1, verse 11. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Stress the word abundantly. Open wide the gate. God will bring you in. You say, I want that, I want that. You can have that. 2 Corinthians 5, 6. We are always confident, are you? We are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord. But what does the Bible go on to say? To be absent from this body is to be what? Present with the Lord. If you trust Christ, what will happen to you when you die? Straight into the everlasting arms of Jesus. You blink here and you blink there. Isn't that great? Man. John 14, verses 1 to 3, I'll paraphrase it. Jesus said, I'm going away. And I'm going to go away and prepare a place for you. That where I am, where is he? I will come again and take you to myself. That where I am, there you may be also. Isn't that great news? Number 7, what will happen to me if I die a non-Christian? I'm glad you asked. John 3:15 again says, we read it a moment ago. John 3:15 begins by saying, whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Are you trusting in him? That's John's question to you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Listen, he who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is already condemned. That means you're living under condemnation. That light has come into the world, Jesus. But men love their darkness more than the light. Men would rather live for their own desires and their own direction than to follow God. Matthew 7:21, Jesus began by saying there, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. He says, in the last days, many will come and say, didn't we do miracles? Didn't we cast out demons? Didn't we do all these great things for you in your name? And Jesus said, I will turn to them and say, I never knew who you were. Depart from me into everlasting torment. You say, Jack, you're terrifying me. I haven't raised anybody from the dead or have done any miracles. Do you see this church? Listen, this is very liberating. If you get it, you don't get to heaven by doing miracles. What? You don't get to heaven by doing any of that. Jesus said there'll be those who were miracle workers by whatever powers, we don't know, other than satanic or hocus pocus demonic junk. And Jesus says, I don't even know who you are. Go away. Now, I don't know about you, but that's very inviting to me. Wow, Lord, that gives me hope. Why? Jack, explain that to me. Because now it's incumbent. You know what that means? It's upon me. It's my opportunity. It's what I'm to do. It should be my passion to know him. Depart from me, I never knew you. So what's he saying? What's he inviting? Know him, right? So question, church. Question, friend visiting today. Do you know him? That's what God the Father will say in the end. Did you know my son? And right now, the Spirit of God is saying to you, yes, Jack, you know me and praise me and worship me and love me. Yes, Lord. And for some of you this morning, maybe the Lord is saying, you don't know me, do you? You don't know what I say. You don't know what I think. You haven't read my book. You don't know what I feel. You don't know how to get to my heaven, to my kingdom. And God's love is reaching out to you. And we end with this one. Who can be forgiven then? Who can be forgiven? Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, Romans 10:13. Who can be forgiven then? Philippians 2:10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. See, the Bible says that it's appointed unto every man once to die, and then comes the judgment. So call upon him. Bow, as it were, the knee of your heart. In John 6:37, Jesus said, all that the Father gives me, they'll come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will in no way turn around or cast out.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called It's Time to Get Up and Go, a study taken from Luke chapter 5 and verses 12 through 26. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we want to remind you of Pastor Jack's recently aired series called How to Be a Christian While on Campus, and it's still available for your tax-deductible contribution of any size to the outreach of Real Radio. How to Be a Christian While on Campus on CD or DVD. Visit realradioactive.org for more info. Also, we've been telling you about the final weekend of this month, a very important set of dates. Here's Pastor Jack to tell us more.
Mike, that's right. Those dates for this Southern California Bible Prophecy Conference will be February 26th, 27th, and 28th, and it promises to be a great conference as it is each year. In fact, let me just say this to all of our listeners right now. Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa has stated that this conference is needed on a national scale. And Dr. Ed Heinzen of Liberty University made this great comment. He says, the Southern California Bible Prophecy Conference is the most practical and well-attended conference on biblical prophecy on the West Coast of America. That is a great, great endorsement. We have a wonderful lineup of speakers, and I hope and pray that you'll make plans to attend and come on out. We've had visitors as far away as Canada and New York, but we'll have Waleed Shubat with us. We'll have General Jerry Boykin with us, David Hawking, Congressman Bob McEwen, Pastor Greg Laurie of the Harvest Crusades. Greg's a great friend and a tremendous brother. He'll be speaking to the body. And then we're bringing all the way from London, England, an expert on Islamic doctrine and how to witness to Muslims, Jay Smith. So it's going to be a great conference. Those dates for you to attend this great conference, which, by the way, there's no charge for this conference, will begin Friday evening, February 26th at 7 p.m., and then doors will open up on Saturday morning, the 27th of February at 9 a.m. And then once again, General Jerry Boykin will speak at our three Sunday morning services, February 28th at 7:30, 9:30, and 11:30 a.m. It promises, Mike, to be a tremendous conference weekend.
Okay, thanks, Pastor Jack. Once again, our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, you can visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time. We at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.